Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer hanging with you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And with practice starting in just about a half hour, we go to the Western Hotline as Sal Capaccio joins us here. The Bills looking to wrap up mandatory minicamp today and then going on about 5 weeks summer vacation here, Sal. I mean, we're gonna have a little bit of a break here.
Yeah, for sure, and it's going to depend on, you know, how each guy wants to treat that quote-unquote summer vacation. Down here at One Bills Drive right now, and it's an earlier practice than normal today. Excuse me, sorry, they had been getting on the field at about 12:30 p.m., but today it's going to be 11 a.m. Now, they have been going for 2 hours each day. I don't know if today will be the same. You know, I mean, there's been years where literally they canceled the last day. There's been years where they've gone very short the last day and kind of just did a light walkthrough. So we don't know what to expect today. And then Brandon Bean, I believe, might speak to the media. I don't know if that's completely confirmed, but I think it could happen today afterward. I know last year he did speak with the media on the final day. And then guys go away. And listen, I asked Sean McDermott the other day, what's your message to players when they leave here before training camp begins in late July? And, you know, he talked a lot about how each guy has to kind of find his own routine. And depending on what stage of your career you are, you might have that routine set in or you might be figuring it out. And the young guys kind of have to also kind of lean on those veteran guys. So, yeah, they're going to have about a 5 to 6 week break. And then back at training camp, St. John Fisher in July is the next time we'll see the Buffalo Bills.
I mean, man, it's like the one time the NFL does stop. It has become as close as it can be to 365, 24/7. But this is the period where it slows down, which is true of like most sports. We're all preparing for, what is it, that week in July where there's nothing. The baseball all-star break, there's nothing going on. So, I mean, we're getting close to that. Sal, don't want to forget about this, so I do want to ask you it right off the top. Max Hairston, that is sort of the big topic of conversation from mandatory minicamp, appeared to pick up a leg injury yesterday. We really have no idea the severity of it. What did you see?
Yeah, so Max Hairston, we're gonna find out here if he's practicing in a little while, and I would caution this. Even if he doesn't practice today, it doesn't mean that there has to be something severely wrong.
Right.
We'll find out. If he doesn't practice today, I'm sure we'll ask Brandon Bean if he does meet with the media pretty quickly, hey, you know, what's the prognosis on Max Hairston? If he does practice, then everything's good. Yesterday, at the very end of practice, he kind of took himself out of defensive drills to go talk to a trainer, and he was speaking with head athletic trainer Nate Bresky. They seem to be looking at his left knee area, like more of the toward on the bottom area of the knee, talking about it, kind of pointing at it, walking a little bit. Right when that happened, practice ended. It was the scheduled end of practice. So it just literally happened at the end of the scheduled practice time. And so we couldn't tell if he went back in. So typically, like a couple of days ago, if you guys remember, Alec Anderson on the first day, like he tweaked something, gets wrapped up. And he didn't go back in. And you could see that. Okay, well, he didn't go back in, right? That was kind of something you saw that happened. We couldn't tell if Max Hairston would have gone back in or not. He might have gone back in. Maybe he didn't. But as the players then came off the field, he stayed out there just for a little while longer with Nate Bresky. And then they walked in together a little bit after most of the players, but with the group, basically.
Sal, when it comes to I made the joke a couple days ago about like how mini camp. I don't take as much weight into it, but I know that we all have the job to do. I'm absolutely going to play into that part and also feed Zach's ego a little bit there.
There we go.
Impressive performances yesterday from your report. It looks like Zach, I'm going to do no favors for you here. Elijah Moore looks crisp. Tyrell Shavers looks like he's been having a lot of fun with these with minicamp and OTAs here. What are you taking away from when it comes to what you're seeing out there on the field?
From somebody specific? I'm sorry. Are you asking specific here?
I'm going to go with Elijah Moore here. He is the later addition to the wide receiver core, and also I want to pump Zach's good feels.
So, because I think that there's been a few receivers who have been kind of standouts here lately. Elijah Moore, to me, has been pretty consistent through the first, you know, few weeks we were out here, OTAs, and now minicamp. You know, we were out here for a day of each OTA workout. We come back out here, and I just think he's been consistent and consistently good and solid and running routes. And even yesterday, like, he caught a pass yesterday kind of mid-level of the defense, and there was nobody around him. He's finding zones. You know, you have to always give the caveat this time of year that I know people say, well, nothing matters. Look, I mean, it's football. They're practicing. It matters to them. And I will tell you, though, that it is a much bigger advantage to the offense right now than the defense because there's no hitting. And a guy can make a catch not worried about he's going to get hit. And, you know, defense is flying around trying to make plays, but the offense kind of knows routes. It's all set and those kinds of things. This is geared towards an offensive setting when you're in this type of environment. You know, the defense still gets their work done and you want to be in right position. So I want to give that caveat. That being said, though, he has looked good. He's been in right position to make plays, to make catches. He seems like he's finding zones and spots. Very, very fluid route runner. I really like that. I love what I've seen lately from this week from Josh Palmer. I think he did tell me the other day he wanted to be called Joshua, so I'm going to try to do that as much as possible, and it might be, you know, something you have to get used to a little bit. So Joshua Palmer, what I've seen in the last couple of days, I think that kind of connection with Josh Allen is starting to really, you know, get better and more on the same page. I think it seemed like he had more of a connection with Elijah Moore like that, but now it's starting to come with Palmer as well. They are different types of players. They have a bit of a same skill set. I see, you know, that Palmer, when he's catching the ball on the outside and the perimeter a little bit, you know, getting to the right spot where Josh is getting the ball to. I like that. I've seen that a couple times lately. And then the guy that I was really on last year a lot, and I don't know, I think I might be again. I just don't know where the numbers are. But Tyrell Shavers, I think, is having another really good, strong mini camp. And he's a guy that's just right there, guys, to make a team. And I know that he had the, 69-yard touchdown, his only touch in the NFL last year. I think it was against the Jets. Someone said to me the other day, well, why don't they ever give him a chance? Well, listen, he is getting a chance. These are the chances. Your chance comes in mini camp and training camp and in practice. Now, you can debate all you want, and we don't know this, like that maybe he should beat somebody out anyway from what you see, but these coaches are here. They're not trying to lose games. They want to put the best players on the field, the best players on the team. You know, getting a chance isn't something you do in a game. Getting a chance is what you do to earn going into a game and being on a roster. So far, that hasn't happened overall for Tyrell Shavers, but I just think he's right there, and he's going to be an interesting guy to watch again.
Sal, on the defensive side of things, Trey White, how's he looked in now his return to Buffalo? I did see what he had a pick six yesterday. Dane Jackson also having a good day as well.
He did, and I.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? The real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? The three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Thought yesterday was a good day for the veteran corners. Trey White did have a pick six. It came really off an offensive mistake, though. Not to take anything away from Trey. You still have to make the play. He did. It was Khalil Shakir on a slant. Josh hit Khalil slipped. And as he's going down, Josh threw it kind of to him, and you know, he's trying to make a play, so he reaches up as he's going down to the ground, slipping, and he bats the ball, right, as he's reaching up with his hands. He can't bring it in. Ball comes up in the air. Tre'Davious White is right there, grabs it, bam, goes back for a pick six. So good for Tre'Davious White. A little bit later, I really love the play I saw from Dane Jackson. Keon Coleman, a little bit in the middle, kind of sitting in the zone a little bit. The ball comes to Keon, and just as he's bringing it in, it touches his hands, and just as he's bringing it in, Dane comes from behind and just does a great job to swipe down, you know, from behind him with his arm across the top in the front and swipes the ball down to the ground. And you could definitely have two perspectives on that, right? Which is, hey, that's a really great play by Dane Jackson, or, man, Keon's got to bring that in. I don't know if he even had much of a chance from my angle. I just think it was a good play from Dane Jackson. I don't know. I don't think it was anything that Keon should have had necessarily. But, you know, if you want to be out here and take that away, you could. But I want to give credit to Dane Jackson for making a nice play on the ball.
You mentioned Keon Coleman there, Sal, and I do want to ask about him because he spoke with the media yesterday. And he talked a lot about self-reflection and kind of how he's handling everything. He's also, of course, is off-season kind of strength program or what have you. What have you been able to take away from him? I mean, he's kind of a lightning rod topic for, I think, a lot of Bills fans. Those still maybe upset they didn't take Worthy. Those maybe a little bit frustrated. It wasn't immediately a pop receiver. And, of course, then the comments from McDermott and Bean both kind of wanting more from him post-injury. But what have you seen this off-season?
I thought yesterday was really interesting when he met with the media guys, and you have that sound there, and you can play some of it if you want, because I thought it was super interesting. Just bleep out the part where he said, I thought it looked like crap, right? You know what I mean? Because that's what it is, and I bring that up because he was very self-reflective, very honest, very self-critical, and I think it goes hand-in-hand of what Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean talked about, getting bigger, faster, stronger, but also for his standpoint, technically, making plays, getting in and out of breaks, doing everything you're supposed to do to kind of be an NFL wide receiver. And what Brandon Bean said after the year was, you know, he just didn't see the same player when he came back from injury. Sean McDermott talked very glowingly about what Keon was able to do as he was ascending, as he got before the injury against Miami. Remember that game in Seattle? It was kind of like his breakout game, right? Where he not only had that great catch over Tariq Woolen, but remember that block he had that drove a guy into the bench area? You guys remember that one too?
Oh yeah.
And you know, he talked a lot about that, blocking, being physical, the physical nature of his game. So, yeah, I just think that it's really great to hear that. And from what I've seen, I do think there's an intentionality about him. That's the word I'll use. Like, when I watch him, not that he never had this, but I think that kind of you see it a little bit differently, where it just feels like, it looks like when he's doing things on his own, he's going through his position work with his receiver group, or he's catching passes from the quarterbacks. It seems like he's come kind of intentionally making sure to get that break the right way, to slow down at the top of the route, right? This is the time to do those things, and I think there's an intentionality about what he's doing.
Yeah, that Seattle game, Sal, that is one I bring up constantly. If you just want to even look at the stat sheet, there were moments, and the Seattle game is one of them, where it was like, okay, like they're targeting him more now. He's making more catches. He is now becoming a focal part of the offense. And then, of course, he does have the wrist injury that really kind of takes away the season. But that Seattle game was one of the more impressive games I've seen from a rookie receiver, because you brought it up too. Like, it wasn't just the catches. It's the big block. He's drawing pass interference penalties. Like, there were moments where watching that Seattle game, especially against such a lengthy secondary that the Seahawks do have, he was able to really kind of impose as well. It's why I'm and of course it's only year two, but it's why I can't really quit Keon yet, because that those few games right there in the middle of the year when it seemed like he really was growing into his own, he looked like he could be a force for the Bills in the near future.
Yeah, I think that Keon Coleman still has a bright future ahead, and I know last year his rookie year was a bit uneven, but it wasn't terrible by any stretch, right? Yeah. I think it's incomplete too because of the injury, right? I mean, last year, maybe early on in the year, you're like, okay, you know, you need him on the field. I'll say this. I remember in training camp, I said, hey, I don't know if the volume will be there, but we're going to see like some really highlight reel plays. And that's kind of what we got from him, right? Where it wasn't about him being on the field all the time, but his usage was starting to go up and they were starting to feel more comfortable with him. And I think that's where you have to kind of take the next step if you're Keon Coleman. We know he can be a highlight reel. We know he can make a great play and high point of ball. I think now it's got to be the consistency. It's got to be, you know, being on the field, being reliable in every situation. And I think that's where his game needs to go to really kind of step into that year two role they expect.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Sal, we'll let you get out of here, get you ready for practice coming up in just about 15 minutes, and we'll also be keeping track of everything going on today over at your Twitter @SalSports. Thank you so much, man.
You got it, guys. Thanks.
That was Sal Capaccio there on the Westher Hotline. Again, practice early one today coming up at 11 o'clock. We hope to hear from Bills general manager Brandon Bean. Don't think we'll be able to carry it live here on the Extra Point Show because practice will be going on still during the show, but I imagine if he does speak One Bills Live, we'll be carrying that. So don't change the station. We'll probably be playing the GM's comments as we all head for summer vacation. 803-0550, the number two call. We're going to keep talking a little bit of the Bills here and some of the NFL storylines as well. Definitely want to jump in, though, later on in the show on Game 4, the Stanley Cup Final, especially after last night, Indiana taking a bit of a hold of their series in the NBA Finals. Want to see if Edmonton has it in them tonight. Tonight, it's not a must-win, but, Derek, we've talked about it. If Edmonton falls to 3-1
again. It's a should-win.
Yep, it's a should-win and kind of a – not a must-win, but – you need to win.
And I do think that we need to I would like to poke a little bit at something else here where Kevin Weeks says there's a lot of interest on a player from the Buffalo Sabres.
Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland, wherever you get your podcasts.